to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, we're going to talk about a declaration in support of conscientious objection in healthcare, something that's needed now, not only where the pressing need is, but maybe even here in the United States. Wesley Smith joins us. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review Online, and author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Due Harm Medicine, and a recent column titled Declaration to Support Medical Conscience. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, how are you, Todd? Good to talk with you.
We're going to be talking about this declaration in support of conscientious objection in healthcare, and there are examples in the UK and Canada where this is obviously needed. Why is it needed also in the United States?
Well, because there's a tremendous amount of pressure among the medical intelligentsia, people who are very powerful in terms of public policy, to do away with medical conscience. There are currently laws, of course, protecting doctors from discrimination if they refuse to participate in abortion, and also that's true for sterilization and for nurses. But there are a lot of other morally contentious issues that are beginning to come on board. Assisted suicide is being pushed. You've seen the ACLU sue Catholic hospitals for refusing to do sterilizations in violation of Catholic moral teaching, for refusing to participate in sex change surgeries, and things of that. And you have none other than Ezekiel Emanuel. Ezekiel Emanuel, for your listeners who may not know, is one of the prime architects of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. He's one of the most influential bioethicists in this country. You will often see him on television. He writes for the New England Journal of Medicine, and he's in symposia, and in fact has written a column that, if people want to find, I wrote about this column in the New England Journal of Medicine, which is notable because that's probably the most prominent medical journal in the world. And when they permit an opinion piece to be written, it's because that journal will agree with it. And he basically said that every doctor who is requested by a patient to do any legal procedure is obligated to do it or find another doctor who will, meaning active referral. And if they don't like it, that means they can, and he specifically, by the way, referenced abortion as part of this. If they don't like it, they should get into another area of practice. In other words, if assisted suicide does not have a conscience protection, an oncologist should become a podiatrist, right? Or you can get out of medicine. And that is the belief system of many, many very prominent people. And certainly the last administration was antithetical to medical conscience and conscience in the healthcare context generally. I mean, that was the administration that sued nuns over their refusal to provide contraception in their health insurance against, Catholic moral teaching. And while this particular administration has actually come out in favor of medical conscience, in the Department of HHS, the Office of Civil Rights, they want to create a new department that would actually focus on enforcing medical conscience. And the New York Times bellowed and screamed and yelled in an editorial, and many very prominent voices opposed, including within organized medicine, opposed that Trump administration initiative. So now's the time, while there's at least a friendly administration, to start really focusing on these laws and getting them into place, because the next administration, whenever that is, might not be so friendly.
So how would you describe the core elements of this document in support of a conscientious objection in healthcare?
Yes, this was written by a fellow named David Odeberg, who's a professor over at Reading University in the UK. I know David. He's a friend of mine. There are a lot of people in the West who are very, very concerned because, for example, a Canadian court ruled that doctors who are requested for lethal injection euthanasia, meaning homicide, by a legally qualified patient have to kill that patient, or they have to find another doctor who will kill that patient, meaning be complicit in homicide, or they need to get out of medicine. That was a court ruling. And so with this issue really beginning to bubble and boil, he felt there was a need to have a pushback, and he created this declaration, and he's looking for signatures to stand up against this medical oppression. I mean, it seems to me, Todd, honestly, I'm going to be very blunt and use tough language, but if somebody is forced to kill an innocent human being, that's tyranny. If you're not in the military following a lawful order and you're being forced to kill, that's tyranny. And that's what this is aimed at stopping. And so he's basically, Odeberg, and I've already signed this myself, he has basically said, look, and I'm going to use my terms, not his terms. If we live in a very morally polyglot society, and we're talking about the West, not just the United States, but throughout the West. And there are things that many people think are right. Let's say abortion. Let's say assisted suicide. Let's say somebody with gender dysphoria wanting a sex change operation, or to give their child who has gender dysphoria strong drugs and hormones to prevent normal puberty. And there are doctors and medical professionals who disagree with that completely on a religious basis or a moral basis. And the point is that if we're going to not tear ourselves to shreds, if we're going to have any comity left in our society, at least in the healthcare context, then those doctors who dissent from those kinds of activities based on a bona fide religious belief or a bona fide conscience belief, which is not aimed at people but is aimed at procedures in particular contexts and not needed to save somebody's life, then those doctors should be able to opt out of doing these procedures, even though they're legal, in order to comply with their own religious beliefs or moral conscience. That isn't stopping the patient from finding another doctor willing to do that. But if you do not have these conscientious protections, you are going to drive a particular form of doctor, nurse, pharmacist out of medicine, out of healthcare. Doctors who believe in the Hippocratic Oath, as an example, the Hippocratic Oath proscribes abortion. Hippocratic Oath proscribes assisted suicide. Are you going to drive a general surgeon out of medicine because he may not even have a religious objection to sex change surgery, but he might have an objection saying, look, it's wrong for me as a physician who believes in not harming the patient to cut off normal, healthy organs. And so if we're going to be able to maintain, not have a whole group of people who, let's say, pro-lifers driven out of healthcare, religious, orthodox, religious believers driven out of healthcare, then you're going to have some comity, or you're going to end up having oppression, and you're going to force people to do things against which they have tremendous religious or moral convictions. And so the point of this declaration is to say, look, we're not saying that other doctors can't do it, other nurses, but don't force us. And I think it's important. It's important if you're going to have a free society with tolerance, which is supposed to be huge in our society, with comity, with understanding that reasonable people can have different opinions about these very morally contentious issues. And if you're going to force one side to win over the other, then it's going to be harmful to everybody, because you're going to drive doctors and nurses with tremendous experience and talent out of healthcare. And how does that help anybody?
Wesley Smith is our guest. We're talking about a declaration in support of conscientious objection in healthcare. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism and author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine, and a recent column titled Declaration to Support Medical Conscience. We'll talk more about the necessity of this, and I wonder why hasn't something like this already been written, already in place in American medicine, after this.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdCruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at EdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith is our guest, Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. We're talking about a declaration in support of conscientious objection in healthcare. I guess I'm just incredibly naive. You're an attorney, Wesley, and you know very well that the medical field is also a epicenter of litigation and legal concerns. And I guess I'm naive in thinking that something like this hasn't already existed, that doctors who are concerned about legal consequences of saying no to things or saying yes to things wouldn't have come up with something like this before.
Well, you know, it is a huge argument, but it's only been, let's say, in the last couple of decades that we have a situation where there is this kind of sharp division about moral values in society and how medicine, as you said, is an epicenter of this, because it is being used not only to cure actual illness now, but to actually help people satisfy desires and promote happiness and that kind of thing. And I want to show you where this can lead. To finish the answer to that question, the medical leadership, the organizations, are actually against medical conscience. They are beginning to adopt what is known as a patient's rights perspective, meaning that it's actually a deprofessionalizing of healthcare, because what it is saying is that doctors and nurses are basically so many technocratic order takers, and that if a procedure is legal, then the patient has a right to receive it, especially, for example, in the Canadian situation where the law has created a positive right to be euthanized. Well, since the government's not going to kill patients who are legally qualified, they're going to have to force doctors to do it. And that's what you see beginning to happen up in Canada. Australia has the same, and Victoria, the state of Victoria, has the same kind of law around abortion. And so you find that the people who are more political in medicine, the people who get into the leadership positions, are antithetical. They're hostile to doctors saying no, because that sends a powerful message. When a doctor says, no, I will not abort, or a doctor says, no, I will not cut off your healthy organ because you believe you're a different sex, or if a doctor says, no, I will not euthanize you, but here's what I will do to help you, then that is sending a powerful message that many in this society don't want sent. And to show you where this can lead, we are now in a situation where, as you know, through the treatment of gender dysphoria, people who are transgender, children are being experimented upon. That is, they are having their normal puberty prevented through the injection of hormones. with unknown consequences to the future. And what if the child changes his or her mind, which does happen in these situations? And we are getting to the place where people are demanding the right to have their sex organs modified to comply with their mental state in terms of their gender or their sex. There's another malady beyond gender dysphoria. It's called body integrity identity disorder. A body identity integrity disorder, BIID, sometimes called amputee wannabe in the vernacular, is a terrible mental illness where the sufferer obsesses and identifies in the modern parlance as being disabled. So this will be an able-bodied person, and they believe that their true self might be somebody with an arm amputated, or might be somebody with who has to use a wheelchair so that they are paralyzed, paraplegic or quadriplegic, or might be somebody who can't see. And there is an increasing support. It's still low key, but I've seen in some prominent medical journals for treatment of this horrible, very difficult disorder, mental disorder, that the treatment would be to give the patient what they ask for. In other words, cut off a healthy limb, to sever a spinal cord, cause blindness. And in fact, some of this has actually occurred with some rogue doctors who have done this for their patients. I use the term doctors and patients very loosely there. But if it comes to pass that the continuing flow of events and flow of the trend timeline, if you will, comes to accept doing those kinds of procedures as a legal treatment, are we going to then begin to force doctors to cut off healthy limbs? Are we going to, if without conscience causes, force doctors to sever healthy spinal cords? Anybody who says, well, that'll never happen here, has been asleep for the last 50 years. Because 10 years ago, you would never believe that children would have their normal puberty prevented through hormones because they have an obsession or they identify with a different sex. So the question then becomes, if these things become legal, are doctors going to be forced to do them? And if the answer is yes, you're going to drive 20, 30, 40% of doctors, nurses, pharmacists out of the business. That will also not only make talented medical professionals scarcer to find, but it's going to be very hard to find, for example, a doctor who would not be willing to kill you under certain circumstances, which scares the heck out of me, actually. Or you're not going to be able to find a doctor who would, if you're a woman and you want an OBGYN who practices in a Orthodox Catholic manner, you won't be able to find that because they will have been driven out of healthcare. That's how important this issue is.
Wesley, with only about 30 seconds here, signatures help, but doesn't this have to be institutionalized? Doesn't have to be incorporated into medical institutions? About 30 seconds.
Sure, absolutely. And the point of the signatures is to start to build a popular push in a democratic society for that. The one thing that I would change right now is the laws that protect medical conscience require bureaucratic or administrative remedies. I would give doctors, nurses, pharmacists a private lawsuit cause of action if they've been discriminated against because they refuse to violate their conscience in an elective situation, not a non-elective where somebody's life is at stake. They should be able to sue like anybody else who's been discriminated against in terms of a characteristic or a belief system in terms of employment.
Wesley Smith is Senior Fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review, and author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do-Harm Medicine, and a recent column titled Declaration to Support Medical Conscience. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Wesley, as always, thank you and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, Dr. Uwe Simonetto joins us to talk about the secularization of Europe. He's former religion editor for United Press International. Then David French, senior writer for National Review, joins us to talk about the case that was heard by the Supreme Court Tuesday, National Institute of Family and Life Advocates v. Becerra. Should pro-life crisis pregnancy centers in California be forced to advertise state-funded abortion? We'll be right back. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Thank you. Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.